Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
And in this next carol, we will sing the words that still the days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old. Slightly different words to perhaps the ones that you've been used to, but we're using Mission Praise. You appreciate that. It's catching you out, some of these words, isn't it? I told you it would. But the sentiment is there. The days are indeed hastening on. And if, like me, as you get older, they seem to go faster, you'll appreciate that God in control of time is something that we can appreciate, because when he's in control, we're in safe hands. So it came upon a midnight clear. Yes, there was a message to shepherds in the fields. We'll sing towards the end, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll keep that one for the last probably. But the message is the same, whether it was to shepherds or wise men, whoever it was. It was that God is in control, he's working out his plan, and wonder of wonders, we're part of it right here and now. So let's sing together. So there have been reflections on God's remarkable intervention, supernatural intervention, with angels coming and speaking, with an amazing conception of a child that Mary bore, to his message to the prophets, and now we look at a star. And it wasn't an ordinary star. I don't know how many stars there are in the universe. Astronomers will tell us it's almost uncountable. We're only a tiny speck in our solar system, let alone what we are in the universe, next to nothing. But a star, we are told, appeared in the east. It wasn't there previously. At least it wasn't seen. It appeared. Where did it come from? How did it get there? There was some bright evidence in the night sky of a supernatural intervention in history. Let's not miss that this Christmas, that God is supernaturally acting. He acts through creation. He's acted through history. Some people try to explain things away. I have a younger brother who's a retired professor from University College London. He's a scientist and he has a number of degrees and he's very knowledgeable. And I remember reading of some of the things he tried to explain how, well, some of the plagues of Egypt couldn't have happened and how they had natural explanations. Well, you might try to naturally explain this star. You might be a brilliant astronomer and you might be able to explain how it arose. But stars generally have quite regular motion because they're governed by laws. But this star had a very irregular motion. In fact, we're told that this star actually stopped over the place where Jesus lay. And this star couldn't possibly have been a combination overlap of a number of planets like we had, which were the planets that overlapped about a month ago, but they could be seen in the southeastern sky in our own planetary system. But that was only for a day or two that that could happen. But the star that appeared was in place, on and off perhaps, but in place for up to 2 years, because those magi, those wise men, followed the star which they saw in the east, and they came and bowed the knee to the young Christ child, and he probably wasn't a baby, and they didn't come to the manger at Bethlehem. It was probably a lot later on, because that's why the babes of 2 years old and under were ordered to be killed by King Herod. But this star stopped. Stars don't do that. Not unless God has made the star for his purpose. Christmas is full of the supernatural. Christmas is full of God intervening in history. That's what it's all about. And let's listen as Mark reads these verses to us.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Mark. So this didn't just happen in a small corner over a brief period of 24 hours and then everybody disappeared. This was something that God was working out over a period of time. And these men of old did that guiding star behold. And that light led them to a house where Jesus was. And they came and worshipped. And that's the invitation for us, to come and worship this Lord Jesus Christ. May his star guide us too as we sing, As with Gladness, Men of Old. If I tell you I'm thinking of a word, do you know what it is? Barry does. What was it, Barry? I don't know. No, you don't really know until I've told you, do you? You might have a good guess, but I suspect we'd have as many different guesses as there are people here. If I say I'm thinking of the word Bible, then you've immediately got some things going through your mind, haven't you? A book, lots of accounts, puzzle passages. Yes, as soon as I use the word and tell you the word I'm thinking of is Bible, then you can begin to work out what I'm talking about. Now it's interesting, isn't it? Because in this last reading that Rita's going to bring to us in a moment, and I think she's going to use a modern translation, Jesus is referred to as the Word. Why did God reveal Jesus as the Word? Well, it's a bit like the reason that I asked you what word was I thinking of, and you had no idea really that I was thinking of the word Bible, until I told you that. And we cannot tell really what God's thoughts are about us and about our lives and about human race and about human history. We don't really know what God's thoughts are until God becomes the Word. And when we look at the Word and we can read the Word and understand the Word and begin to delve into the Word, we begin to discover God Himself. For Jesus is the Word of God. So He took a body like ours and became like us, so that we could discover about God. For He is God, and He is with us. Interestingly, I read this afternoon of one great Scottish preacher who said this. He said, Christ did not gain one perfection more by becoming man, nor could He lose anything of what He possessed as God. The almightiness of God now moved in a human arm. The infinite love of God now beat in a human heart. The unbounded compassion of God to sinners now glistened in a human eye. God was love before, yes, but Christ was now love covered with human flesh. Let's hear the word of the Lord.
Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is Himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. Eternal life is in Him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent John the Baptist as a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the true light. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to identify it. Later on, the one who is the true light arrived to shine on everyone coming into the world. But although He made the world didn't recognize Him when He came. Even in His own land and among His own people, the Jews, He was not accepted. Only a few would welcome and receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God. All they needed to do was to trust Him to save them. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth resulting from human passion or plan, but from the will of God. And Christ took our human nature and lived here on earth among us, and was full of loving forgiveness and truth. And some of us have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son of the Heavenly Father.
So as we've been thinking together of God supernaturally sending angels, causing Mary to be with child and give birth to Jesus, of the prophets who spoke hundreds of years about what Christ was going to accomplish later, of a star which miraculously appeared, we have the greatest supernatural intervention ever. When God, at just the right time, broke into human history and became one of us. Why? Because we could never reach his perfection. We would always fail. However hard we tried, however much we made a big effort, we would never be able to live with God forever by our own efforts. They would never be sufficient. So what did God do? He saw our position, and from the glories of heaven, he came to where we are. That is the message of Christmas. That's what it's all about. And what does that mean? Well, Rita's just read for us. For everyone who will receive what Christ offers, which is forgiveness and new life, they can become his children and have relationship with a Father in heaven who created all things. It's the only way anyone can ever be accepted and have a place in heaven. So is he your Saviour this Christmas? Have you received him for yourself? That's the most important question. It's not whether you know about him. It's not if you can tell the story of Christmas. It's have you received him? Has he become your Saviour? Have you put your trust in him? He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. It's not my idea. I wouldn't have had any way of working that out. This is God's idea. This is God's plan. This is God's Christmas, and it's for you. So we'll sing together, Once in Royal David's City, and take note especially of that second verse, will you? That he is God and Lord of all, and he came to this earth for you and me.
Thank you.
What an amazing story, isn't it? How wonderful that God should so love the world that he gave his only son. And his son was born to die, to take the penalty for your sin and my sin. He went to the cross, but it didn't end there. He rose triumphantly, and we cannot separate Christmas and Easter, for they are one message, that God has done everything necessary so that we could know him, we could have a relationship with him, and be received by him into his family now and always, forever. So let's just take a moment to be quiet, and then I'm going to say a short prayer before we sing our final celebratory carol. Let's be quiet a moment. Lord, we praise you that this wonderful story of Christmas assures us that you, in your glorious authority and power, are in control of history. For it's your story. It's his story. And we're grateful, Lord, that we've been able to reflect together on some aspects of that great story of Christmas and read again these wonderful verses from the Bible and sing again these great carols. And we thank you, Lord, that they all speak to us of the gift of your precious Son to us, so that we now have a Savior who is Emmanuel, God with us. And we pray that as we celebrate Christmas over these coming days, with family and friends and in our community, we pray that we may know the Emmanuel, God with us, and that we may be able to say with all our hearts, Lord, we love you because we receive you as our Savior and Lord. And we thank you that we have good news that we can share with other people because a Savior has come. And we know that one day, because he is in that glorious place of authority, in risen power, ascended into heaven, one day he will come again. So we pray that even at this Christmas time, we may live prepared lives for when you will appear in glory, not in the same way as you came as a babe at Bethlehem, but as the King, as the Lord, as the one to whom every knee must bow, and the one whom every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank you we can do that now. We thank you for time to share together and for the opportunity that we have had in this brief hour to give praise to you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen. Now you're going to want to reach the high notes, I'm sure, of the great carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I know there's the high notes, but we've saved them to the end. So that's good. So you've still got some voice left. And if you get a bit parched afterwards, I think there's a cup of tea or coffee coming and maybe a mince pie. So don't rush off, and we can stay and share together. Let's sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. seats. Well, thank you for sharing in our carol service. It's been a little bit traditional and yet very untraditional. I hope you've been relaxed in it. We've had an informal time in some ways, but yet formal in others. As an even in more informal time, I understand, over in the village hall from 6:30. Well, I think they're going to start with some mulled wine and mince pies and then going to sing some carols very informally. Your choice, I think, over at the village hall from about 7:00. So we're here now for at least another half an hour or so. So we'll serve some tea and coffee and mince pies here. But don't let that stop you going over to the village hall and joining the rest of the community, St. Helens Church and friends from St. Helens, and everyone from the village community. Very welcome over there as well. So please stay and have a little chat around now. And if there's anything you would like to ask about any of the things that we've shared through Carols by Candlelight, please come and have a chat. Thank you for coming, and God bless you.